We hear again from the appointed Gospel of John 15. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you." In the name of Jesus. A clean life. Wouldn't it be nice? A life minus all the pressures and anxieties, everything else, of all this busyness around us. A clean, simple life. Wouldn't it be nice? And especially for our consciences. To go to bed each night with no worry, no lingering doubts about shortcomings, no doubts about malice in the heart, to be done with all of that. Wouldn't it be nice? But how do you get to the point of a clean, simple life, especially a conscience completely at peace? This desire for cleanness and simplicity, it's nothing new. Even 400 years before Christ, there was a school of Greek philosophers who taught to reject all desire for wealth and fame. They rejected all power also. They would live a life free of possessions. This is the ascetic life. One of them, Diogenes, didn't even have a house. He lived in a barrel on the street. The simple, clean life, devoid of possessions. No worries, no pressures, no entanglements. Wouldn't it be nice? The church has been tempted with it too at different times. Be done with your possessions. Live a life free of worldly entanglements. If you're a man, it's the monastery. If you're a woman, the nun's convent. Or just go out and live the simple life in the desert by yourself. Some 300 years after Jesus ascended, a Christian monk in Egypt named Anthony made himself famous by selling the property that he inherited from his family, and he left his sister with a group of virgins, and he headed off to be a hermit, living only on bread, salt, and water. He would never touch meat or wine. He ended up holed up in an abandoned desert fort where people would come out and throw food to him over the wall. But at least Anthony saved himself the trouble of worrying about farming or fishing or paying bills or tending to children or getting along with his neighbor. Asceticism, a life devoid of sensual pleasures, a life pursuing spiritual cleanness, fasting, celibacy, poverty, hunger, scratchy clothing, strict schedules, but at least you're living a clean life. How does our Lord give us to live a clean life? Our society, too, around us, it strives for this. To live a clean life, you can eat the right foods. Eat only vegetables and turn away from meat. When people want you to live a clean life, there is no end to the rules and controls that they will put you under. Eat the right food, drink the approved drink, wear clothing made by the right company, listen only to approved voices, use only permitted speech, and have only permitted thoughts. Then you'll be living the clean, accepted life. People around us do listen to this. So obviously there's some sort of desire to live a clean life. How does our Lord give us to live a clean life? All these efforts to live cleanly, can we sniff out a little nonsense in it? The Greek philosophers teaching simplicity, did they not have the same sinful thoughts as everyone else? The ascetic hermits, did they not have the same lusts and troubled consciences as everyone else? If not, then why were they flogging themselves every night and robbing their bodies of sensual pleasure, even of marriage itself? And those stone walls that Anthony hid behind in the Egyptian desert, they did protect him from from the approach of his neighbor. But did Anthony really think that those stone walls would stop the demons from getting to his conscience? So we know something here doesn't make sense. No conscience will be cleansed by a diet out of the blender. No conscience troubled with guilt is brought into peace by refusing to eat meat or drink wine. No Christian will be protected from the demons by hiding behind a wall of brick and refusing to talk with neighbor. How does our Lord give us to live a clean life? Our Lord does it. He cleanses with a word. He wants no one left with an unclean conscience, no one troubled in their heart. In the Old Testament, when the Lord gave Israel to build the tabernacle, he told them how he would gather them and their families to the tabernacle to be cleansed of all sin. He gave instructions to the priest to give sacrifice and sprinkle the blood of the sacrifice to cleanse the people. Leviticus 16:19. The priest shall sprinkle some of the blood on the altar with his finger 7 times, and he shall declare it clean and consecrate it from the uncleanness of the people of Israel. And then the people from that altar walked home clean. When someone was unclean with leprosy, the Lord said that that person should go to the priest to be cleansed. Leviticus 14:7. The priest shall sprinkle the blood 7 times on him who is to be cleansed. Then the priest will declare him clean. How does our Lord make a person clean? By forgiving sin, by declaring the person clean by the blood of the sacrifice. A sinner is made clean by the Lord speaking a word, not by diet or regimen or soap for that matter, not by asceticism or denial of pleasure or refusal of marriage, not by hiding from other people behind a brick wall. A sinner is made clean by the Lord speaking a word. If the Lord says that you are clean indeed. John 15:3. Jesus said, "Already you are clean because of the word I have spoken to you." Jesus is our priest. Those priests of the Old Testament, they were the Lord's instruments, his servants, to deliver the cleansing word of the cross to those who lived before the cross. Now Jesus here in John 15 is on his way to the cross. After he speaks to his disciples of cleansing them with his word and giving them to abide in him, then next he will be praying to his Father for the church. That's that great prayer of John 17. And then he will be betrayed and arrested and taken before Caiaphas and then Pilate, where he is then sent to the cross. But on the way to the cross, where he's going to shed the blood of sacrifice, he tells his disciples how he cleanses them. You are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. How does our Lord give us to live a clean life? Our Lord Jesus is no Greek philosopher rejecting possessions and worldly entanglements with your neighbor. He's no ascetic hermit hiding behind a brick wall. And he's no modern man of ours either, eating only the approved diet and spouting only the approved platitudes. Our Lord did it all. He drank wine. He even supplied it for a wedding party. He enjoyed meat. He loved getting together with his neighbors. He gathered large crowds himself, and he was known as friend to tax collectors and sinners. He hid behind no brick walls. How did Jesus live a clean life? By living from the gifts of his Father, by giving those gifts to his neighbor, by forgiving sinners and releasing sins, by speaking grace to all who are unclean. He gives us a clean life. By the word he speaks to you, you are already clean. How to remain clean? Abide in his word, he says. Hold on to his word of grace. Daily hear his word of forgiveness. Remain clean by commending yourself to him, especially when you're stung in your conscience by uncleanness. By knowing that there is no sin not forgiven, you are kept in him. By knowing that there is no guilt not pardoned, no shame not covered, you are kept in him. For he is our great high priest, standing before the Father, declaring us clean. How do we remain clean? We don't do it. We abide in him. He does it. We receive every good gift from him as a branch receiving life from the vine. John 15:4. Jesus said, "Already you are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches." The branches receive life from the vine in the name of Jesus. Amen.